This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Sharit Abdullah and Wong Xiaoning. It is Monday the 22nd of July and it's the start of another work week, guys. How was your weekend? Sharit, you had some family time planned.
I did, and I went to the park, I took my kids to the playground and enjoyed themselves, but then we realized that there was no water. I said, oh my goodness, what a time to go to the playground and sweat it all out.
Wet wipes, wet wipes, Sharit.
No.
I guess you hope it rains and send the kids out.
That's a good one, Lynn.
We snuck out and found a condominium which had a good amount of water reserves and we borrowed their shower facilities, really.
Did you just randomly walk into this?
Well, no, we know that person.
A condo? Oh, you knew the person?
Yeah, well, no way were we going through the day without taking a shower.
No, but I had visions of you, like, you know, sneaking into condo A and say,
yeah, you know, just opening the balcony door and sliding
in. I'm capable.
Yeah, you're tall enough to reach the first floor from the ground, right?
No, I'm just capable like that. Like, you know, I don't get embarrassed about these things. Anyway, how about you guys? How was your weekend?
My weekend just went too fast as usual. Everything was a blur. And I realized in KL, everything's 3 degrees of separation, isn't it, Linma?
Really? Why is that?
Yeah, well, we'll discuss that another day.
Mysterious. Yeah, I went and watched Lion King with my family.
Fun.
So that was quite fun. But I guess the most interesting thing about it for me if you've seen the trailer, you know, you really rough. Know what it's about.
Who doesn't know what Lion King is all about by now?
And you have young children. How would you have avoided it?
Yeah, watching it over the weekend. But anyway, yeah.
Yeah, no, so because I was sitting next to my grandmother who watched the original Lion Kings multiple times when her eldest grandchildren, aka me, were little. And she was fascinated by the entire thing because she was like, you mean this was all computer generated?
Oh,
you mean
cute.
they didn't convince the animals to do this?
That is cute.
I know.
I love that.
It was adorable. And it just made me realize how much we take this kind of CGI for granted because she hasn't watched a movie in years, not something to this scale. And she was fascinated by the whole movie, even though she knew every single plot twist, because realistically, it's not much changed from the original movie.
Let me guess, he becomes the Lion King again.
No, how did you know that, Charlie? Yeah, so, but yeah, so that turned out to be quite a fun weekend activity, you know.
Nice, okay. Imagine if M. Night Shyamalan were to direct Lion King. I think from Lion might just turn out to be a crocodile or something. I don't know.
His movies are so cryptic.
His name just cropped up in my head.
All right, but in the meantime, we've got lots of fascinating discussions lined up for you this morning. What are we going to be talking about, guys?
Yeah, so speaking about Lion King, dramas and everything, internal party squabbles, that's always an interesting drama. Is being vocal to your party members counterproductive? So surely, I mean, highlighting the weakness in your own household has its merit, but, you know, maybe it can get worse. So what do you think?
And I'll be talking about exercise. As you all know, I'm pretty addicted to it. I need my fix at least 4 times a week.
Junkie, exercise junkie.
Mm. But I never thought of following a regime on the radio. But hey, why not? So it might get people moving in the morning. It's a good way to start the day. So we're going to talk a little bit about that.
All right. And don't forget, if you want to weigh in on those conversations, you can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. First up, though, we're going to be talking about the thing that we all wish we could go do and do right now, which is going back to sleep. But first, Princess of the Universe by Queen, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Sharit and Xiaoning. That was Xiaoning's favourite song, Breaking the Law by Judas Priest.
I do not recommend Breaking the Law. At all, okay, guys? I just find this song hilarious, okay? But don't break the law.
What I find hilarious was your very deep sigh the minute the song came
on. No, I don't understand the lyrics. I don't understand the tune. But I know it's my producer's favorite song. He just loves it, okay? Maybe it wakes everybody up.
That was 3 minutes of a conversation that I miss having with you, Xiaoning.
What, the breaking?
Well, because you were focused on listening to the song. Anyway.
To the lyrics.
But taking a look at what we are going to be talking about this morning, I guess it is tied with our attempts to wake you up because we're going to be talking about sleep, or specifically sleeping in the afternoons. Because, you know, do you nap? Do you not nap? Why? Because I guess one of the naps is one of those things that has become almost accepted during the day, sometimes even almost fashionable in certain places. Because if you look at the tech industry, for example, you have nap pods. pods. Even here in BFM, we have a nap room, just in case you feel the need to take 40 winks during your work hour. But on the other hand, there are some people who don't nap at all for fear of perhaps missing out. And I admit that I am one of those people. I don't like to nap because I always think there's so much more I could be doing with my day. But you guys take naps, right? So why do you nap?
I think it gets to a point in a day where I realize that I'm no longer productive. My brain is just exhausted, and you know, all it needs is just a bit of a reset. And I think, yeah, but there is a science to it. I mean, that's what I've learned. Last time there was I didn't apply any science. It was just going crazy on the naps. It didn't help. But once you figure it out, that sweet spot of just getting that right amount of nap, it does. I mean, for me, it wakes me up again. It just gives me that extra 4 or 5 hours of energy just to get things done. So that's why I nap.
Every day?
Every day.
Well, I, you know, there's a lot of famous nappers out there, like you say, Lynn. I mean, they're like Margaret Thatcher, Leonardo da Vinci, Winston Churchill, and you can add me to that list. I am a napper too.
And you are also a very famous person indeed.
No, I'm not, but I need my nap. You know, I think it's the hours we keep here at BFM, right? I mean, we come into the studio at 5. I mean, honestly, nobody is supposed to wake up at 5 a.m. So you're right there, Sharice. The nap keeps me going for the rest of the day. And for me, all I need is that half an hour, that disciplined half an hour. Because the problem about napping is it becomes like a 2-3 hour thing.
Yes. Yeah.
And then when you wake up, you're like just so groggy. My goodness, you feel even worse than when before you took the nap.
Yeah, that's partly why I don't nap, because I find it very hard to keep to like half an hour or 10 minutes, like a power nap. If I try and nap, I will find myself sleepily snoozing my phone alarm, and then I'll be asleep for 3 hours, and it completely throws my body clocks out of whack. So I'll be awake much later than I expected. I'll get stressed because I'm not asleep by the time I should be asleep in order to get up and work at 5 o'clock in the morning. And it's just an overall unpleasant experience for me. So it doesn't make up for the extra, you know, amount of sleep that I get.
Yeah, well, so I think it comes down to lifestyle. I'm interested to find out that while you were in the bank, Xiaoning, did you take naps? Because back then you didn't have to wake up at 5, right? I mean, so
If I didn't have a lunch meeting, I would just kind of fall asleep at my desk, and I don't care.
But yeah. was that acceptable practice?
Well, yes. If you didn't have anything on, you could just go into your, you know. You would literally put your wrap over your head and just put it on the table and then pray that you don't make so much noise when you snore. But yeah, I used to.
I spent a lot just to get some like napping equipment.
Did you? When you were in your old office?
Like all this neck brace and everything.
I'm well equipped
to go for a good nap, you know, in the afternoon. But you know who else naps? Estunmave. And this is from personal, I think, observation. This is someone who has worked with him closely. He takes really good, quick naps, especially whenever he can, when he's traveling and so forth. And which is something I recommend too. I used to do public commutes, and it used to be fun times.
Oh, I can't nap on public commutes. Ooh, I'm paranoid about whether or not I'll miss my stop, because I have done it before. I've fallen asleep on buses and wound up having to ride it to the end of the line and back. But yeah, I mean, actually, Tunohada is an interesting example because, you know, on the one hand, he's 94 years old, and it's really impressive that he manages to keep up as he does, much less the fact that sometimes, you know, because when I used to be on the press conference circuits, some days you would see him at 9 o'clock in the morning for an early morning press conference. You would see him throughout the day at multiple events, and then you turn up at a Bersatu AGM, for example, at 11 o'clock at night, and he's still there, and he's still going. And all of the rest of the young people in the room would be so tired. And here's this 93-year-old man, you know, going strong. So I guess that is the prime example of what you can do if you manage to nap during the day.
Yeah. So, I mean, another question that I think about napping is why? Why is the reason that we need to nap? Is whether or not our lifestyle is the one's pushing us to that point, right? I mean, so I guess sometimes that fear of missing out, there's always things to do. Malaysia is an exciting place, even at night. Places don't close out, so we sleep late on occasions.
Yes, yeah, so do let us know what you think about this, to nap or not to nap. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We've got a couple of messages coming up for you, and then we'll be talking about Xiaoning's favourite subject, exercise. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Sharitz and Xiaoning. That was Jump by Van Halen. And we're running a poll this morning because earlier we were talking about napping, specifically whether or not you nap or not. And the poll is running on the BFM Twitter account right now. That's at BFM Radio. Do let us know what you think. So far, we've had 9 votes and 78% say are in favour of naps. I'm slightly surprised that I'm not the only person in favour of not napping, actually. So if you do vote on this poll, let us know why. In other news, though, there's this interesting practice over in Japan. It's called Radio Taiso, and it is basically a short radio calisthenics program broadcasted over radio and TV multiple times a day. And it's a short exercise program, you know, designed to get the blood moving. And some people have credited it as being one of the reasons why Japan has such a long lifespan, because millions of people across the country take part in these programs every single day. And they've been running since the late 1920s. You know, they paused for a little while after World War II because it was disbanded by the Allies, but then it was brought back again somewhere in the 50s, and they've been running ever since. And I thought this was an interesting sort of program, as particularly it was highlighted in an article in The Guardian, because they spoke to some people who've been doing these programs nearly every day for decades. It made me think, right, that in this studio here this morning, we have one person who really does love to exercise. So, Xiaoning, why don't you actually conduct a radio calisthenics program?
Yeah, we
could
drop all this
days.
Chat and we could just start working out.
I have no clue what to do. I saw the YouTube video, actually. And I have to say, the exercises are really cute. They're a little bit, you know, guys, like what we used to do for PE, remember? Or maybe I come from a different generation. But I remember PE classes were like, you know, you put your hand up, you wave it in the air, and then you kind of just,
Like
you just don't care. They aren't very complicated exercises, but the point is maybe it just gets you going. It wakes you up, it keeps your blood circulating, and then you're ready for the day. It's only 3 minutes. I think it's excellent. Everyone should do that if they don't do any exercise at all. Why not?
Absolutely. And I think going back till since 1929, I mean, that is almost 100 years old practice. So I think that's key, isn't it? And it sets a tone for culture as well. So it's how influential radio can be. having it regular basis. But I do wonder, though, how do you translate an exercise through a radio? I mean, how do you...
Because they have the same routine that they haven't changed anything since the 1920s. So I guess it's just repetitive after the point where you've memorized the steps. So maybe you've seen it first time in school, you've done it in school, or I think in those days probably they I've seen charts of these exercises. So they must have publicized it, and then everybody just kind of follows, and you've kind of memorized the routine. So even though it's on radio and all you have is just people's voices egging you on, you know automatically what to do, and it's not complicated exercises.
Yeah, and if you consider the fact that it's been going for 90 years, a lot of the people who are doing it now, probably in their 30s and 40s, probably followed family members along to do these radio calisthenics programs. So it's kind of seeped into the culture through that. Some of them do it in schools as well, in morning assemblies. So it's very much a part of their culture. But, you know, the thing that struck me about this, right, was that looking at this article, my immediate thought was, hey, that's a great idea. But then we had this exact sort of thing mooted by our own health ministry not that long ago. You know, they were talking about maybe at 3 o'clock every day, all the employees should be encouraged to go take a walk, you know, have a little bit of exercise. And my reaction to that was, why? You know, who's going to take it up? So it made me look at myself a little bit and see, you know, why do I have these different reactions? You know, is it just because I think that, oh, Japan is fantastic, it'll only happen in Japan? Will Malaysians not pick up on this sort of thing? Is it partly a culture thing, or is it just, you know, what do you think about this?
I have a feeling it's just that we're not patient, that we don't commit to things. It's, of course, like any new things that introduce you, there's always going to be some form of pushback, right? But it's those who are introducing it. I mean, they need to be committed. They need to have that long-term view. And I'm sure back in 1929, it wasn't well, the days were different. People were a bit more, I guess.
There were less distractions.
Less distraction, maybe a bit more controlled. And maybe the whole exercising, waving your hand up in the air like you just don't care was the in thing, right?
But still is.
It still is. I do blame perhaps one thing that could contribute to us not being too keen about all this is death. It's just that exercise now has gotten more exciting. It has evolved. I mean, it's got like people hanging from upside down, and there's just so many things now going, different type of exercise. So this is looking really bad.
No, the issue about exercise is that the people who exercise are very committed, but there's a whole lot of people who just don't do anything at all.
Exactly.
I am one of those people.
Yeah, so maybe these radio exercises are perfect to get someone started. At least 3 minutes every day, get your heart pumping, is not a bad thing.
Yeah, I tend to agree because it's an easy entry point into daily exercise, right? And incorporating that into your routines. Because if you think about it and you look at all the videos of people hanging upside down, as you described, Sharitz, they can be very intimidating. And I, for one, wouldn't be very keen on that. But yeah, 3 minutes a day, maybe, you know, that's not such a bad thing to get started with. Well, let us know what you think. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Would you do these kinds of radio calisthenics? Do let us know. And in the meantime, we're coming up to the 6:30 news. And to take you there is Billy Joel with It's Still Rock and Roll to Me, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Sharitz Abdullah and Wong Xiaoning. That was AC/DC with Back in Black. And for those of you who remember the song from the Iron Man movies, Avengers Endgame has become the biggest movie in history. So it's the number one grossing film of all time. So that's exciting news, and I feel like I contributed a little bit to this considering I saw it three times.
Everyone knows officially I found the movie a bit boring.
We can no longer be friends, Shani.
No.
I found it a bit self-indulgent, but never mind.
But three times, though, that is quite a feat.
That's okay. You know what? You're entitled to your opinion,
yes,
Shani,
yes.
Because dissent is good. And we're talking about criticism this morning and whether or not you should, party loyalties transcend this sort of disagreements, particularly, I guess, public disagreements. Because Rumbau MP Kari Jamaluddin, he said that he's going to be continuing to criticize UMNO leadership because he thinks that it needs to be corrected. And he said that he's doing it out of love for the party. Otherwise, I guess he would have left by now. And, the question then becomes, where do you draw the line? You know, where do you fall on this criticism in public, no less, by the way, versus criticism in private? You know, should we be of openly disagreeing? You know, how do you feel about MPs and ministers disagreeing with each other openly? Does it impact your confidence in the strength of a coalition, perhaps? There are a lot of questions that this raises. But personally, I find that I'm for these kinds of public disagreements because it shows that our MPs are, I guess, and our ministers are, I guess, independent of the party.
Yeah, so here's what I'm thinking. I mean, it's normal to have a disagreement, but it's what kind of disagreement? There's a lot of the times that the things that we capture when it comes to disagreement within party are the things that are so petty and things that, does not interest me, especially has nothing to do with national development, for example, right? A lot of things are, I'm not going to name anything, but I think thinking Kyrie, what happened was that I think this is one fellow out there that actually probably learned from the mistake that happened in the past. I mean, I don't think that there was open squabbling back then with them. It wasn't as not to say that there was none, just to say that maybe Kyrie was not as vocal as he is now, and perhaps learning from the mistake that happened from the last election.
Yeah, when you think about it, when there's no dissent and everyone just toes the party line and keeps quiet, whether they are happy or not happy, then you have this very, like, almost no sense of debate, right?
Mm-hmm.
No sense of...
It becomes an echo chamber.
Yeah, everyone just echoes the same thing. Yes, yes, yes. Everyone agrees, even though it may just sound so ridiculous to the rest of the population, which I think was the case very much so before the elections, especially over the 1MDB as the scandal came out and as more facts came to we were aware of the facts, right? And everyone just pretended that it never happened.
Mm. So right? That's bad, right? I mean, that is something, that, an internal squabble that I want to be leaked out because I don't want it to just suddenly blow out of proportion. I mean, it's going to, you don't want it to just hit in your face, or, you know.
Blow up in your face, essentially, your face. Right?
And the question is, at what point do you then want it to be public, and when do you then resolve it internally,
mm-hmm.
right? That's a delicate balance, isn't it? Because if you squabble too much publicly, do you then kind of affect the reputation and the sense that the party is in disarray?
Well, that's what we're seeing with PKR now, right? With the infighting between Dato' Sri Azmin Ali and Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim. But I think in that sense, it has descended almost into mudslinging for me. So that is the kind of disagreement that I don't want to see splashed all over our headlines. If our ministers or our MPs or party leaders can come out with, you know, measured disagreements, then I think that's fine. But and it is, but it is definitely important at the end of the day to talk about these things, because, you know, you guys were discussing things under the previous regime, and remember, this was one of those things that a lot of people accredited for the downfall of the Barisan National Coalition, because they had fostered such an environment of almost fear, because you had people like Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin, who disagreed and was suddenly
overnight kicked out of
government and practically out of the party. So people were afraid to disagree. So people didn't tell party leadership maybe how disconnected they'd become with the grassroots members. That's why they were so taken aback by the sudden swing away from Barisan Nasional when it came time to elections. But I don't like the fact that we see all these, you know, squabbles essentially splashed all over our newspapers. I feel like when it comes to these, you know, small matters, you know, or basically name calling, it should be done with behind closed doors.
Okay, so I think I might disagree with you with that. I mean, I do need, I think I'm a person that would need to know what's happening within the, because they are public figures, number one. So for me, it's important to know what's the state of their home affairs, basically. But you're right about it making the headline. That's what I do not want. I don't mind it being sprinkled around the newspaper. But again, whose responsibility is that? Is it the media who's pushing it into the front page?
Or? That's true. So the media probably does bear some sort of responsibility for this as well, right? Because it's easy headlines, but it's not necessarily news.
Yeah.
Right? Because
we don't splash it on the front headline.
We try not to.
So I mean, there is a responsibility, isn't it?
There's always going to be this big debate where does your loyalty lie as a member of parliament or as a politician? Is it to your constituent or is it to your political party? And I think you're always going to be torn between the two, right? Who voted you in versus who put you there in the first place, right? For me, at the end of the day, it's your constituents. They voted you in. They expect you to be their voice in parliament and on the things that matter and the issues that count. So as an MP, please speak up for me. Because you are my voice in parliament.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly that. Now, we're going to be talking about this a little more just after a couple of messages, so be sure to stay tuned for that. In the meantime, if you want to weigh in on the conversations, you can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio, and we'll take a look at any messages we receive after this. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was You Give Love a Bad Name by Bon Jovi, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Shariots and Xiao Ning. Now, we've been talking a little bit about party loyalties and whether or not they preclude criticism against your own party, particularly in the media. And we're talking about this because Khairi Jamaluddin, who's Rimbaud MP, has said that he will continue criticising UMNO leadership because he believes that it needs to be corrected. Now, he did tell BFM this on The Breakfast Grill some time ago with Melissa Idris. So if you want to check out that conversation, you can find it on the BFM app. In the meantime, we're also running a poll this morning because we're asking you, are party loyalties more important than speaking out against the party? Well, so far we've had about 8 votes and 75% of them said no, party loyalties are not more important than speaking out. So, Shariots and Xiao Ning, where do you fall on this poll?
No, for me. Yeah, I need to know about all these things. And party loyalty should be secondary because they are accountable to the public at least. Is this sprinkled or splashed?
I'm sorry if we sound like an echo chamber this morning, but I agree with Sharon. For me, it would be no, because like I said, I voted you in. So I want you to be my voice. And you shouldn't just be like another speaker box for the party, right? Just echoing whatever they say.
Okay, so maybe I am the slight dissenting voice here, because I don't think it is. It's really this simple. I feel like, for me, it would be, if you have a disagreement, bring it to the party first. And if you can't resolve it through your party means, then maybe you have no choice but to bring it to the public. So I would always kind of go for the let's resolve it one-on-one behind closed doors first. Because, you know, when you look at things, when I see politicians coming out to slam each other in the media, it does leave me with a bit of a bad taste in my
but
mouth.
But what happens when you're in an interview? Because you've been on the news desk before, right, Lynn? So you might agree, you might think, okay, I don't want to splash it out in public. But what happens if this, you know, reporter comes out and says, oh, excuse me, you know, and asks you this critical issue where you feel you're against party lines? Are you going to be honest at that moment and say, blah, 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 I disagree with party, or do you just smile politely and agree with party lines?
Okay, that I would be honest, but I'm talking more about the press statements that we sometimes receive, you know, the long, basically tirades sometimes that we get from one MP to another about particular issues. I disagree, I don't really like those so much. When they're cross-party, okay, you know, there's only so much discussion that can happen perhaps outside of the confines of parliament. But when you're within the same party, I would try and hash it out on a party platform first before taking it to the media, because I always feel like whenever you see these kinds of statements coming out in the headlines, whenever you see protests and demonstrations, these things only happen for me because there is no accepted platform for these disagreements to be hashed out beforehand. So I feel like if you're seeing these kinds of responses, means that there is someone has dropped the ball in terms of maybe fostering an environment where people feel comfortable debating with each other, even within a party.
Which is a view Lim echoes. I mean, he WhatsApped in and he says that it's actually transparency that allows leaders to tell each other off through the media. So this is Malaysia Baru.
So, I mean, I think I'm going to echo what Lim is saying as well, in the sense that for me, the reason why I would want them to, I would like to be in the know, is that this, as you mentioned, this conversation between two or three people, whether or not, do they have any other stakeholders besides those two, three people, whether or not other people should have a voice or should have a thought or opinion on that matter. Now, again, we, as a reader or as a listener, we too have that responsibility to pick and choose what is it that we read, what is it that is important for us. So, I mean, my concern is, I guess it comes down to trust. And when they resolve it internally, I don't know whether or not it's something that I would agree with to begin with. I would like a process where, yep, we're having this, and this is the outcome that we've come up with. And perhaps, yeah, whether or not our opinion would matter.
Tung of KL says, washing dirty linen in public is not about transparency, it's about ethics. And I think this is going to be very much an ongoing conversation, because we'll also be taking a look at the PKR infighting that's been happening between the camps of Dato' Sri Azmin Ali and Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim later on during the 7 o'clock hour. So if you're interested in this subject, please be sure to stay tuned for that. But we're coming up on the 7 o'clock news now, and to take you there is Bruce Springsteen with Dancing in the Dark, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.